Medicinal cannabis, cannabis oil, do you take it? Do you use it? I was talking to an elderly man recently who'd been recommended by his GP, and he's well into his 80s, that he use cannabis oil for his back. And he knew very little about it. It sort of spooked him. He thought he'd be stoned. He'd have trouble driving, all these sort of things, some of which he was right on, some of which he wasn't right about. We've been talking about medicinal cannabis on this program for many years. And I argued strongly that if it worked, it should be authorised and tried. I do remember years ago talking to people who had relatives with terminal cancer, and they were buying cannabis plants for them to use because it eased the nausea, promoted the appetite. And I said, well, go for it. Why not if you're dealing with somebody like that? However, where does it stand now? How hard is it to get? It's being legitimised, but has it gone, all the way down that path? Fletcher Solomon's chief executive of Little Green Pharma, an Australian company which produces and exports medicinal cannabis. They're based in Western Australia. Fletcher Solomon, morning.
Good morning, Neil. Fabulous to be here.
Thank you for your time. Is the jury still out a bit on medicinal cannabis?
Oh, look, I think there's definitely a handful of groups, and I say groups because some are practitioners, some are public, some are even patients who perhaps tend to look at medicinal cannabis still as a prohibited substance. But generally speaking, and you only have to look at the numbers that the TGA have approved in terms of SASB approvals for certain conditions, I think you'll find that the demand in Australia, and particularly the acceptance, has improved greatly over the last few years since it was legalised back in 2016, which is really heartening.
How many people at the moment, on estimate, would be using legalised cannabis, medicinal cannabis in Australia?
But we don't have the oversight of the exact numbers, so how many patients. There's probably well over 100,000 patients currently in Australia that are utilising cannabinoid therapies. But what we do know is the TGA have approved nearly 300,000 SASB approvals, and that's approvals through the special access scheme. But we know that there are probably more than that because there are a number of authorised prescribers, so certain doctors who have the capability to prescribe cannabinoid therapies very freely. Mm. And so we don't have oversight of the exact numbers, but we know they are increasing all the time, month on month.
I remember looking at this very early on, the early days of it being legalised, and GPs told me it was a mess. They didn't know how to do it. How do I get it? If I go to my GP, just your average GP, he doesn't specialise in the area, go to my GP and say, I want to try cannabis oil for sleep. What does he do? He or she do? What does the doctor do?
Fabulous question. So the doctors, that's the first line of access to medicinal cannabis is your normal general practitioner. Now, it's very easily accessed, and it's actually done through the special access scheme. So all of the GPs would understand the special access scheme and how that is, what the process is. It is an unregistered medicine. So it's not as simple as just your normal run-of-the-mill prescriptions, but it's simply by putting in an application to the TGA. And it can be a little complex at first, and I guess a lot of GPs across Australia are inexperienced with medicinal cannabis because it is slightly complex. Mm. Saying that, it is the process now is much easier, and really all they have to do is reach out. There are a number of cannabis companies across Australia that actually help and educate the doctors and point them in the right direction. And once they've done it once, it's a really easy process.
Yeah, I don't know that any drug company should be educating doctors. That's and give them the information by all means, but let them make their own mind. Having said that, I was talking to a very senior cardiologist recently, and not the one I had in the program, but I was talking to them, very senior male cardiologist, and I said, what about interactions with heart medications? And he said, we don't know. So what work has been done on the interactions of cannabis, medicinal cannabis, and various well-known medications, whether they be statins or whether they be antiarrhythmic drugs or whatever? What has been done?
Great question. And there are so many different research and studies happening across the world as we speak. And I'm certainly not a medical practitioner, so I actually can't speak on how medicinal cannabis interacts with other drugs or other therapies. So that's not my
No, but research
expertise.
Is being done, is it? That's the important thing.
Absolutely.
If I take various medications, I'm not just going to go and launch into medicinal cannabis, even though it might work for me, because I don't want to know how it affects the medications.
Look, I think generally it is perceived, this has been taken for many, many years, and there is yet to be a death associated with cannabis in general. There can be other conditions where people suffer from, but it's generally not related to medicinal cannabis or cannabis intake.
But there are some licensed drugs like blood thinners. I think you're not supposed to have grapefruit with blood thinners or some blood thinners. Now, that's a bizarre combination. You're not allowed to have any, or green vegetables that might further, leafy greens might further thin your blood, these sort of things. I mean, there are some very specific areas with particular drugs.
Yeah, look, and then it comes down to the individual prescribing doctor, and if you're talking to cardiologists, you know, they're the specialists, so they'll know
That's the point. They didn't know.
They said
the work hadn't been done on contraindications.
There's certainly plenty of research happening, and I think it's up to specialists and also the GPs have a look and to come forward and say, show me. There is so much data now that's been gathered, and sometimes we just need to open our eyes and look a little bit further and understand that research, especially as it's a really exciting sort of new treatment option, and I think it deserves a lot more attention from a lot of these specialists.
Okay, well, you're obviously committed to it. What, and that's fair enough, and it's legal, and what you're doing is legal. What needs to be done, do you believe, now? I mean, do the GPs need to be educated? Does there need to be more work on contraindications? What sort of work has to be done to take that next step for medicinal cannabis?
So I think the next step is definitely about doctors. It always has been. So worldwide, the global issue in medicinal cannabis, no matter where you are, is evidence. And this is what our doctors want to see. Now, there is plenty of evidence, and it's about opening the eyes and having a look at it. But the more that we can produce in terms of data is going to be so helpful for the future. So, look, Little Greens Pharma has been involved with the University of Sydney and Curtin University in running what we believe is the world's largest longitudinal study looking at chronic disease and chronic illness using medicinal cannabis.
Yeah.
So we launched this, and we've got over 3,000 patients who were recruited in the study. And, you know, there's some amazing data coming through, and this is just one research project. You know, there's many across the globe, and so this will all start to point to some really, I guess, the benefits, and if there are no benefits, then, of course, we're going to learn. Okay. And what that will do is point us all in the right direction to further clinical trials to make sure that cannabis, you know, has a role to play in the medical field.
Well, I'd love to see that. Of course, no one drug works for everybody, does it? You wouldn't expect it to have a 100% success rate.
No. Look, this is not a panacea. You need to understand that. It's just like any other drug. When it does work for certain individuals, it can be life-changing. But on the other hand, it's just like any other drug. Some people don't have a positive response to it or a therapeutic effect.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for speaking to us. I appreciate your time. Fleeta Solomon, Chief Executive, Little Green Pharma.